Stand with me if you're able. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 24 through 27 of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 24, says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Let's pray. Father, again, it's a blessing to be here in your house, a blessing to be back in the pulpit and preaching again. And Father, I pray as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you'd give me the words to preach. That, Father, this message would be from you and not from me, that we would each come today to hear from you and from your word and apply it to our lives. And, Father, I just pray, Father, that you would increase, that I would decrease, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish. I pray now that you'd speak to each one of us personally, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, we had the period was 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. The people were God's chosen people, Israel. The place was Jerusalem, the holy city. And the purpose, well, if you missed the last message, you might want to go back online to our website and listen to it. It was the 27th of December, and you would listen to the first message, you would get the purpose behind that. But now we're going to look at the program, the actual prophecy, and what the 70 weeks are all about. So we have the commencement of the count. In Daniel 9:25, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." Israel's prophetic clock began to tick when the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was given. When that commandment was given, and we can see that over in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. That's 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Also, we see the account in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you all of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. His was the first decree given of three, ending with Artaxerxes in 444 BC, which on our calendar is March 21st. The coming of Christ, 7 weeks of years, 49 years, 62 weeks of years, or 434 years. The total is 483 years. And you multiply that by 360 days because that was the calendar. The ancient calendar was based on a 360-day year. People go, well, it's 360, but I don't care what you want to use today. In this time, it was 360 days in a year. A prophetic year in the Bible is always 360 days. This totals 173,880 days. Do the math and you land on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, March 30th, AD 33. And you get that from the chronological aspects of the life of Christ by H.W. Honer. We serve an on-time God. Have you ever noticed that God is never late? He's also never early. He's on time every time. I don't know about you. In my life, I've seen many times where God shows up right on time. I'm thinking he could have been early, and it would have made me very happy. But he's always right on time. Why do we expect him to be early? Why do we expect him to be late sometimes? He's always right on time. Always. Without fail. He's not going to be late. Not going to be. When it's time, it's going to be time. And I got news for you. When that trumpet sounds, you better be ready. You better be ready. I think there's going to be a lot of people who profess Christianity today that when that trumpet sounds, they're going to be taken by surprise. And it's because they're not ready. They think they're ready, but they're not ready. And we need to be ready. As Jesus approached Jerusalem on that Sunday, walking down the slopes of the Mount of Olives, he paused. And probably it was with tears he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only they knew the things that belong to them on this their day. No wonder he refused their kingship, right? No wonder. Over in John 6:15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come to take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He refused their kingship. It wasn't time. In his perfect time, he will be exactly who he is. And he will be known to everyone exactly who he is in his time. In his perfect time. Matthew 16:20, it says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Isn't it interesting? There was a time when he said, don't tell anybody, right? And if you read some of these stories, what did they do? They went and told everyone. Now he tells us to go tell everyone. And what happens? We don't tell anybody. Isn't it interesting? Reverse psychology, right? If he just tell us not to tell anyone, we'd go out and tell everybody. But he tells us to go tell everybody, and we don't want to tell anybody. It's kind of an interesting dilemma that we have, isn't it? He kept this low profile throughout his ministry until this day arrived. We believe the Bible by faith, don't we? The answer is yes. We have to believe it by faith, but it's not a blind faith, is it? No. No, it's not. It's well-founded. It's well-grounded. It's a reasonable faith. Over and over and over through the Bible, we see where God said something and it came to pass. The Bible tells us over and over and over that God who cannot lie, we heard that during the Sunday school lesson also. God cannot lie, and he tells us over and over and over, I'm going to do this, and then he does it. So by faith we can believe that if God said it, it's going to happen. What a wonderful, wonderful faith that we have. The crucifixion on the cross, Daniel 9, 26a, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He'll be cut off. In Isaiah 53, 8, it says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This means that he would die. That he would die. He had to die. That's why he came. People go, you know, it's so terrible what they did to him. He came with that as his purpose. He came to die. In Daniel 9:26b, it says, but not for himself. He didn't die for his own sins because he had none. Yeah, he had none. I still say every time I think about growing up with Jesus, can you imagine? He did nothing wrong. Ever. He was the perfect child. Wouldn't you like to be his parent? The perfect child? I mean, never does anything wrong. Never said anything wrong. I mean, always. It'd be just a blessing, wouldn't it? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died for us. He died that he could take away the sins of the world. By the way, that's not just our sins. That's the sins of the entire world. That means for everyone. Amazing. He did that for us. Then we have the collapse of the city in Daniel 9:26c. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prince that shall come, the Antichrist. The people of the prince, the Romans, destroy the city and the sanctuary. Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. Then we have the calling of the church. The calling of the church in Daniel 9, 26d. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. This is an indeterminate period of time. God calls a time out, and the prophetic clock stops ticking. 69 weeks of years have gone by. There's only one more week, 7 years to go. Do we know when that's going to happen? Anybody have any idea when that's going to happen? I can tell you what I know about it. In his perfect time. In his perfect time. And until then, it's not going to happen. I don't know about you, but I've been around people who are date setters, and they've tried for years and years and years. And have you ever noticed that every date setter has turned out to be wrong? Every one of them. And there are some people that say, well, it's going to be in the spring, and some people it's going to be in the fall, and some people it's going to be in the summer, and some people... It's like, don't listen to them. They have no idea. They're guessing. I can tell you when it's going to happen. It's going to happen in his perfect time. Be ready. Be ready. He tells us to be ready. We need to be ready. This is because Israel rejected her Messiah and King. Welcome to the church age. Welcome to the church age, right? This interim period is a layover which lasts until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, and we should be thankful that he did. I don't know about you, but I am very thankful that he did. We have the Word of God. And thank God we do. And thank God if you were here during the Sunday school hour, you're learning about why we have the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. It's amazing. I like the fact that we have the King James Version of the Bible and that we can have it, that we can meditate upon it, that we can study it. I like this. I did get my toes stepped on one time when I asked a missionary about the King James. We only use the King James Version of the Bible. How about you? And he said, when I'm preaching to English-speaking people, yes. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? It's the King James Version of the Bible, right? And then the bulb went on and God said, not everybody speaks English. Well, they should, right? I mean, it'd make my life easier, right? But if you're not an English-speaking person, then obviously you need the Word of God in your language. But it should come from the right text. Just saying. And these ideas that it's easier to read because it's been watered down is hogwash. So God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, and be thankful that he did. We do not know, but that someday soon God will look down from glory and see a sinner repenting and will turn to his son and tell him to go and get his bride. And by the way, he'll say, and hey, Gabriel, blow your horn, right? That trumpet will sound and we'll be out of here. When that happens, it's going to happen so quickly that there's not going to be time to change anything that you're doing. Yeah. Can you imagine? I wonder what it's going to be like one day when that trumpet sounds, and faster than that will be before Almighty God. What are we doing when that happens? Just think about it for a moment. When that you're not going to be able to stop doing what you're doing when that happens. And you're going to be face to face with the Savior immediately. Are we going to be embarrassed? Are we going to be ashamed? Depends on what we're doing. This is the rapture of the church and the end of the church age. Our redemption will be complete. I am going to get a glorified body. I am so looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I bet Brother Terry is not here right now, but I bet he's going to be so thrilled to have eyes that work and not have to have another surgery to make it happen. I don't know about you. I'm going to like not having aches and pains. I'm going to like not having to have glasses, right? Had one guy one time says, well, everybody's either going to have glasses or nobody is. In heaven, everything is perfect. Why would you need glasses? Right? So I'm going to be happy not to have them. I do like them better than contacts, though. I never get those in my eyes. We're going to get to go, and we're going to get to be with our loved ones who have gone on before. Going to be those who have gone on before us that are waiting for us. We're going to be reunited. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Every tear will be wiped away. Wow. No more tears. No more tears. People go, well, they're tears of joy. Well, not always do we have tears of joy, do we? Sometimes there's sorrow. Those things are going to be wiped away. They'll be gone. There will be rewards and riches and royalty as we rule and reign with him. Yeah. Ruling and reigning with him. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we get to rule and reign with him. You know, people go, well, it's just so bad. Life is just terrible. Think about what it's going to be like when we rule and reign with him. That ought to put a smile on your face, right? Put some joy in your heart. We get to rule and reign with him. Can you imagine the rapture that takes place at the rapture where we get so excited, we actually become fanatics for Jesus Christ? Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, we're going to get carried away as we get carried away, right? I'm just saying, we might actually look a little charismatic, maybe, huh? We just might. We might actually let some excitement happen as we get carried away, when we get carried away. 1 Peter 4:13 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Exceeding joy. Yeah, I'm telling you, we're going to get carried away.
We try to be dignified and not carried away here, but we need to get carried away sometimes. People need to understand that we have something that they need and they should want. Then the confirmation of the covenant in Daniel 9:27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The Antichrist makes a 7-year peace treaty, playing right into God's hands. He unwittingly starts the prophetic clock ticking again, and now the last of the 70 weeks is underway. He promises to protect Israel for 7 years. So we have the Antichrist compared to Jesus Christ. First, we have Jesus Christ came down from heaven in John 6:36. The Antichrist will ascend from the bottomless pit in Revelation 11:7. Jesus Christ came in his Father's name, John 5:43. Antichrist will come in his own name, John 5:43. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, Philippians 2. Antichrist will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men in Isaiah 53:3. The Antichrist will be admired and wandered after and worshipped, Revelation 13:13-14. Jesus Christ came into the world to do his Father's will, John 6:38. The Antichrist will do his own will, Daniel 11:36. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. The Antichrist will destroy the mighty and the holy people, Daniel 8:24. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, from John 10:11. Antichrist shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces, Zechariah 11. Jesus Christ is the true vine, John 15:1. The Antichrist will be the vine of the earth, Revelation 14. Jesus Christ is the truth that sets men free, John 8:32. Antichrist will be a liar, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God, Mark 1:24. The Antichrist will be that wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Jesus Christ is the sinless one in Hebrews 4:15. Antichrist is the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Jesus Christ was the virgin born, only begotten of God, Luke 1:35. Antichrist will be the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:16. Antichrist is called the mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Who is the Antichrist? I do not know. And I do not care. Simple as that. I remember being in high school and they used to talk about the Antichrist. And the Antichrist was on the earth back then. And the Antichrist had the initials J.C. I said, I knew it. It's my brother's initials. I knew it growing up, right? Tried to convince my mother sometimes that he was, but that's not it. People go, well, don't you care? Why do I care? The Antichrist will not be revealed until we are taken out of here. until that happens, it's not going to be revealed. So why worry about who it's going to be? Why worry about who it is? Does it matter? It's not going to matter to us. We're going to be gone. We're going to be taken out of here. So it doesn't really matter. And besides, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where our focus and attention should be. If you see the Antichrist, it will mean a few things. First, it will mean that whatever religion you had, if any, was false. You missed the rapture. You may have known about Jesus, but you did not know him personally. Two, God, who used to be for you, is now against you. If you know the Antichrist, you're on the wrong side. Bottom line. Three, you have entered a nightmare beyond description. Not going to be a picnic like some people think. And four, your destiny will be the same as the God you have followed. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And guess what? That's the end of those who thought they were trusting in Christ and found out that they weren't. Found out it's too late. We have to make the decision for Christ while we still have breath. This side of eternity. Once the rapture takes place, church age is over. We do understand that, right? This age of grace comes to an end. The church age is done. Again, the Antichrist promises to protect Israel for 7 years. Yeah. Israel's never trusted her national defense to anyone. To anyone. But they will with him. And why? Because he's going to be so deceptively lovely, kind, and wise. He's such a gifted peacemaker that they're going to trust him. Well, how could they be so deceived? How can the world be so deceived all the time? Constantly. People are deceived on a regular basis. Number one, there will be a one world government, the new world order. People go, well, that's not going to happen. Folks, open your eyes and see what's been going on. There has been a one world government in the works for a long time. This book tells us there has to be a one world. It has to happen. There's a lot of people that are one worlders. People go, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Two, he will allow the Jews to rebuild their temple, which will fit on the open area of the Temple Mount beside the Dome of the Rock if necessary, if Court of the Gentiles is left off. Three, animal sacrifices will resume and priests will once again enter the holy place. And four, halfway through the week, 3.5 years, the Antichrist will break his covenant. He's a liar. What do they expect? He's not going to break his covenant? He's a liar. He will enter that temple where they are sacrificing lambs and will say, "Get this trash out of here." And then he'll say, "Take away your bloody sacrifices. You want to know who God is? You're looking at him." Good thing his reign is short-lived, isn't it? He does get what's coming to him. But this is the abomination of desolation. Daniel 12:11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Daniel 11:31. "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? The devil. The devil. The Antichrist is the devil incarnate. In the flesh, he will have his day saying, I am God, worship me. And people will. And people will. They say, how can they be so deceived? How can people be so deceived today? People are deceived all the time. How can they be so deceived? Because they refuse the truth. They refuse the truth. What did Jesus say to do? Matthew 24, 15 through 22. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You don't want to be here during this. And the good news is you don't have to. That's the good news. You don't have to. I'm talking to Brother Daniel earlier, praise the Lord, there's another name written down in glory. I tell you, it should give you goosebumps. Praise the Lord. Another one that is not going to have to be here, that will not be here. Many today scoff at the end of the world. Let's pray that they heed the warning now before it's too late. Before it's too late. A lot of people who believe, things are going to go on forever, always like they always have, right? You know, it's interesting listening to people, and I don't care what circle that you run in and stuff, but people always, things always happen the same way. Really? I don't know about you, but I've watched in my life that things kind of cycle. You know? It's interesting the color schemes that are coming back in again. And they cycle in and they cycle out, and they cycle in and they cycle out, and clothing cycles in and cycles out, and I mean, all these things come and they go, and they come and they go, and they're like what we call fads, right? The one thing we know that is not going to change is the Word of God. The Holy Word of God. Always the same. Never changes. Man's tried to change it. But just because man's tried to change it doesn't mean it changes the Word of God. We just need to understand we need to stick with what God gave us. I believe that we are the terminal generation. I'm not setting dates. I'm just saying I believe we are in the last days of the last days. I believe that it could happen any time. I believe everything is lined up and ready to go. And I believe Jesus said he would be coming quickly. So I believe we are there. Then we have the completion of the count. The last half of the tribulation is hell on earth. 3.5 years go by slowly when you're scraping to stay alive. When you're doing everything you can to stay alive every minute of every day, 3.5 years is going to seem like an eternity. It's going to seem like it's barely moving along. Right now, what do we say? Can you believe we're in 2021 already? Seem like we barely made it to 2020 and we're fast forward into 2021. And before we know it, we'll be 2022 if God does not come first and take us out of here. It's just amazing how it whips right on by. But at the end of those 7 years and the 70 weeks are up and God's kingdom will come to earth, the prophetic clock can hang in heaven's museum, for time will be no more. Time is not for God. God created time for us. Wouldn't it be terrible if we didn't have time? How would you know when you were supposed to be in God's house for services? We don't have time, right? How would you know when it's time to worship the Lord corporately? Well, think about it this way. One day we're going to be there where we're going to be worshiping Him all the time. We're not going to have to set aside this amount of time on this day and then this amount of time on this day. We're going to be worshiping every day, all the time. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a good time to me. Sounds like a great time to me, where that's all we do is worship the Savior all the time. Are you ready? Are you ready? When that trumpet sounds, are you ready? By the way, you don't have to pack a bag for this. You're not taking anything with you. But are you ready? Only you can answer that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. Father, we know that one day that trumpet will sound. We'll be out of here. What happens after is not going to be the picnic that a lot of people think it's going to be. And the last 3.5 years is going to be really bad. Father, I pray, as we have loved ones that we'd like to see heaven with us, I pray, Father, that you would use us to reach out to them, that our lives would show them that there's something about us that they would like to have in their life. I opened with a call to worship. People are going to see a difference in our life if we're walking with you. If we're spending time with you. I pray, Father, this start of another year, that we could make a new start in our life. Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray today would be that day. Father, for Christians, if we're not living like we should, I pray that we would start today. Start strengthening our spiritual muscles and walk with you. We have a time of invitation, Father. I pray that you would have free reign in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able.